Father, we're grateful for this morning. We thank you for the moment of prayer, the moment in songs, in the teaching of your word, and every other part of this service. We're grateful for the move of your spirit in our lives and also in our church corporately. We ask this morning that by your word, you will fill our hearts with clarity, instruction. You fill our heart with revelation of your word. You will help us to gain precision, to gain understanding of your work, your assignment, your mission, what you are amongst us to do, what you have brought us into your kingdom to do. We ask that this morning, every heart, we have the fire of discipleship, the fire of serving the Lord, ignited afresh in our heart. No one will leave here this morning without being filled with the passion, the zeal for your plans and purposes, to know it more, to walk in it, to fulfill it, and to help others to discover the same. This we ask and receive in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Matthew 9 is our text. Let's go. Matthew 9. We spent a lot of the time singing, so I have to be fast. Okay? All right, so we stick to time. Matthew 9. Hallelujah. 30. Where should we start? Should we start from verse 1 or verse 35? 35, right? You don't like read your Bible. I got you there. Amen. Let's look at 35. Praise God. So look at me. You know we're talking about meetings, right? So you know what I want to talk about. So the meetings of a church. Are we together? Are we together? God's gift. Is it clear? Is it clear? So with the meetings, right? Is the gift of what? Is the gift of God. Look at it, everyone. God gave church meetings to the church. Church meetings. The meetings, we call them Christian meetings. That's what we call them. Now, you know, we've spoken about why it should be called Christian meetings, right? Right? And when it is not a Christian meeting. Gone over that. I mean, I've been talking about meetings now for 31 sessions. Sorry. No, not that, not that. But how many sessions are we here? About 8 to 9 sessions. All right, so talking about meetings. Amen. Talk about meetings for some 10 minutes, then we'll look at Christian life. So, let me say, look at this. Meetings are for you. Is it clear? And Satan wants to mess it up. Praise the Lord. Satan wants to mess it up. And the way he does that, I told you severally in this church, in our church rather, not in this church, in our church, I've told you severally that Satan does not play according to rules. He's a dirty player. So don't even try to play dirty with Satan. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Now this is not just about Christian meetings generally. Satan does not play. If you put Satan on a football field, he will carry the ball with his hands and run into the net. He doesn't play according to rules. He's a disorganized person. He plays dirty. And that is why you have to stick with God's wisdom to have victory over him always. You can't win in life with the enemy if you are dirty. You have to know God's word and play by the word. Is it clear? Is it clear? Look at this. See, Satan can't walk in the spirit. Hope you know that. Hope you know that. He cannot. I don't know if you get me this morning. Not what? Walk in the spirit of God. He can't walk in the spirit. So, to beat him blue-black, you have to stay in the spirit. Now, staying in the spirit is not a spooky weird feeling. It simply means do your things according to God's word. He can't win you. If he wants to have victory over you, he lures you out of God's word. He has to lure you out of God's word.
He has to get you out. He has to. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? He has to what? He has to get you out. He will set bait so that you can come outside the world. The moment you come outside the world, he will beat you blue black. And he's experienced a supernatural being that preceded the creation of man. He's smart. Is it clear? He's smart. Are you with me? But he doesn't have the wisdom of God. He's cunning. He's cunning. He's deceptive. He's subtle. But he doesn't have the wisdom of God. So, to beat him always, I have to stay in the wisdom of God. And many times this is not easy. In the flesh. Many times it's not easy on the flesh to stay in the wisdom of God. Are we together? Are we together? You know, sometimes someone tries to quarrel with you, or someone tries to work on your intelligence, or someone tries to treat you as though you are not intelligent. And then sometimes you are moved to show the fellow that, Sunday I look for meaning. Bless you. Are we together? Yeah. Do you think I'm stupid? Well, what do you mean? And sometimes that's the way the devil lures. Is it clear? That's the way the devil lures you out. Like this morning I have to correct something. And then observe that if I wasn't careful, I'd get into the flesh. I had to correct something this morning in the church. And then I saw it that I had to retreat. So I emphasized it, and then in my heart I just knew, that's enough. It won't happen again. Because of the way I dealt with it, that's enough, it won't happen again. So since you've dealt with it will happen again, don't stretch it. Is it clear? Is it clear? Sometimes there's a thin line there. And the devil wants to get into the flesh. Are we together? So look at this. Satan wants you get into the flesh about Christian meetings. Don't allow it. See, I don't allow it. See, I don't allow it. Satan wants to get you into the flesh about Christian meetings. But the wisdom of God remains the wisdom of God. You have yourself to blame if you allow the enemy to pull you out into the flesh. God has given you the victory. God has given you the wisdom. Stick with it. He can't beat you. Amen. He can't beat you. So the meetings of the church are for you. I'll talk about that in the last 2 minutes. The meetings of the church are for what? Are for you. Praise God. In the meetings, don't say in the meetings. Praise God. Don't say in the meetings. So in the meetings, I am edified. I'm built up. I am helped. In the meetings. Now, sometimes you wake up on Sunday morning and you don't feel like going anywhere. Are we together? Are we together? But that is when to get into the meeting. Wait, do you ever get up in the morning and you don't go to work because you don't feel like going anywhere? I don't feel like going anywhere. No, you don't. In with the church. See, I'm led of God. In the meeting. See, I'm inspired. In the meeting. You are not inspired on your bed. No, you're not. You're not inspired when you are at work. You're not inspired to serve God when you are at work. You're only inspired to make money. Is it clear? So now you're inspired to push your career more. Not in the church, in the world. You're inspired to push your career more. Maybe they are giving privileges to people. I observe that only people with a particular qualification are getting that privilege. Ah! So you are angry. Me too. I will take that course. By this time next year, I will have the certificate. And that's fine. Is it clear? But in the church, there's an inspiration. We are helped to know the Lord. Is it clear, church? We are helped to love the Lord. Is it clear? We are helped to serve the Lord. Praise God. Do you know you need help to know the Lord? Huh? Do you know that? Do you know that? You need help to know the Lord. We need help to love the Lord. We need help to serve the Lord. So help is present in the meetings. Where two or three people are gathered in my name, there I am to help, to strengthen. Praise God. So as the many things happen in the world, you know, as the age goes by, technology, advancement and all, won't allow anything, praise God, to replace church meetings. You are led in the meetings. You are strengthened in the meetings. Your fire is sparked up. You observe that, right? Wait, is it just me or is it true about you also? That after service, you feel refreshed spiritually. Now, maybe not bodily, because you sat down for hours. Are we together? But you feel, can someone borrow me a word? Can someone borrow me a word for what you feel? Huh? Huh? Renewed. Sorry? Refreshed. Renewed. Which other word? Now, I'm not saying give me words. I said, let me hear you on what, how you feel. Motivated. Strengthened. Ignited. Edified. Replenished. I think I like the word replenished. Is it true? That you feel replenished after service. Huh? Is it true? You feel replenished. So look at it. There's something that comes from Christian meetings that is not available elsewhere. When those meetings are held the way they ought to. When Christian meetings are carried out properly according to the scriptures, there's something supplied that is not present elsewhere in the world. And that is God's wisdom for you and I. Praise God. Let's talk about discipleship a bit more. So in Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went to the villages, teaching in the synagogues, and gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, are we together? Multitudes. So look at me. God's plan is for multitudes. We're having that multitude. Praise God. Let me get it for myself. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with what? Compassion on them. You see that? When he saw the multitude, he was motivated by the money they could bring. No, he didn't say that. He's a good shepherd. A shepherd is in need for what he can supply, not for what he can get. Amen? Amen? Jesus spoke about those for what they can get. He called them hirelings in John 10. Those you pay to care for your flock while you are away. You get it? Yeah. We read John 10. Those who pay hirelings, from the word hire, hirelings, we call them contractors. See, a pastor is not a contractor. Did you get it? A shepherd, a cell leader, is not a contractor. A discipler is not a contractor. See, I'm not a contractor. I'm a shepherd. And the grace of God is upon my life. So look at that. He was moving compassion on them because they what? They fainted. Scattered abroad, a sheep, the disciples, the harvest truly, but the laborers are few. It is praying therefore the that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Are we together? So he says they fainted. So we examined that word faint. We said to be without strength, to be without direction, to not have a vision. So the strength and the vision and the direction is relative. Because I told you that the same set of people that Jesus looked at and said they fainted, in the natural, they could be doing excellently well. Are we together? They're doing excellently well. So he's not discussing their natural state. He's talking about their spiritual status. Their spiritual status. They are described as faint, without direction. Are we together? Without vision, without leadership. Do you remember? Do you remember? So we said God has sent us out.
God has sent us out. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So then God has sent us out to be shepherds. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
To be shepherds. Now, Psalm 68, we look at that text already. Psalm 68, everyone. Psalm 68.
Psalm 68. Praise God. A shepherd. Right? Right? Don't forget, we said, a sheep without what? A sheep without what? Is what? Not what? In God's plan. A sheep without shepherd, it's not God's plan. Psalm 68. Praise God. Are you there? Now, look at verse 5. Don't forget I explained verse 5 and 6 to you last week. So he said, a father of what? Okay, can we read it together? Six. We are not reading. So we're going to read it again. Everyone's expected to read. Verse 5, everyone wants to go. Verse 6. So in verse 5, look at what it says. It says, a father of what? The fatherless. Right? Then it says what? A judge of what? The widows. He says, is God where? In his holy habitation. Right? Now, don't forget, we explain the habitation of God as what? A people. Is it clear? God dwells amongst a people.
not amongst buildings. Is it clear? God's habitation refers to the people of God. God's habitation refers to a people. If you look at how he puts it in Matthew 16, he says, upon this rock I will build my church. Are we together? At the point in time, he spoke to, he says, destroy this temple. John 2. He says, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will bring it up. And the people thought he was talking about the physical temple, because they queried him. They said, oh, what was he saying? He says, 40 and 6 years, this temple was in the building, in the making. In other words, it took us 46 years to erect this temple. How then will he bring it up in 3 days? But the writer said, they wist not that he was not talking about the physical temple, but the temple of his body. His body there wasn't referring to his physical body. He was talking about the church, the body of Christ. Are we together? So when it says, destroy this temple, in 3 days, I will bring it up. He uses the physical temple to point to a spiritual temple. A spiritual temple. Now, what is a temple? A temple is an Old Testament description of a place of God's activity. In a temple, you see two things. A supernatural being is found in the temple. So, the temple is like a domain, a habitation. It's where a supernatural being is worshipped. Is it clear? But you also observe that in the temple, you find interventions. Interventions of that supernatural being. So, in the temple, people come to worship the supernatural being, and the temple is also the place of his activity. Is it clear? Is it clear? So, in the Old Testament, Israel, the nation of Israel, was described as God's habitation. Because it was among those people that God was worshipped, and his acts, his interventions, were also experienced among the people. Is it clear? In fact, it was so clear in 2 Samuel that David said, I know that you do not live with temples made with what? With hands. Are we together? So it was so clear that God was not going to be confined to a physical building built by Solomon. Are we together, church? He was not going to be confined to a physical structure built by Solomon. 2 Chronicles. Church. So the temple of God refers to a people. A people. The temple of God refers to a people. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Another word for temple is the word house, or the word tabernacle. Excuse me. So, the tabernacle of God is a people. The house of God is a people. That is why in John 14, when Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. People have used that text to teach rapture or a physical building in heaven. There is no physical building in heaven. Is it clear? Heaven is an immaterial place. Heaven is not a place where, you know, Dangote will put his cement. And then some even come with all sorts of fake visions. And say things like, oh, when I got to heaven, he says, oh, I discovered that my house was not being roofed. What kind of nonsense is that? My house was not being roofed. And I say, oh, they are just completing the lintel in my house. So the angels are the bricklayers. Are we together? Oh, no. Or maybe God will go to hell, then take the people in hell as the laborers. No. Doesn't make any sense. So when Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. The word house there is from the word oikia in the Greek. It describes a people, not a thing. So, in my Father's house is translated in my Father's household. Or in my Father's family. The house there refers to a household, a people, not a thing. So, the house, the tabernacle, the temple refers to a people. That's the same thing David refers to as what? Habitation. Don't say habitation. So when he says God in his habitation, it means the activity of God amongst his people.
the activity of God amongst his people. God in his habitation. The presence of God amongst his people. So this is what God does amongst his people. What do we read in Psalm 68? He says, a what? A father of the what? Fatherless. Did you see that? That means God's fatherhood is described or is discovered in the church. The fatherhood of God is provided in the church. Because the tabernacle of God, the temple of God, the people of God, the house of God, the household of God, are we together? They is described as the church. Look at Galatians 6, everyone, quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Galatians 6. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? Galatians 6, everyone wants to go. Verse 10. Are you there? I'm still hearing some Bibles being flipped. Let's wait for them. Let me to open it. Me too. Galatians 6. Are you there? Okay, wait for me. Okay, I'm there now. Verse 10. We're going to read. Everyone wants to go. As we have the opportunity, huh? Let us do good. Let's take it again. As we have the opportunity, let us do good. Let's take it again. I mean unto them who what? Household of faith. That's the church. Look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Quickly. Ephesians is immediately after Galatians. Ephesians chapter 2. Are you there? Now let's read verse 17 together. Once you go. And he came and preached peace to you which are far off, and to them that were near. 18. For through him we both have ourselves by one spirit unto the Father. 19. Let's take 19 together again. Once you go. The household of God. It talks about the church. So the church is the one that is called the household of God today. The church. The church. Someone say the church. As imperfect as it is, that is God's house. Are we together? So, look at me. Can we say God's house is not perfect? Huh? 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 Are you perfect? Am I perfect? Are we perfect? Are we God's house? We are not God's house. Ah. You are not reading with us. Are we? Can we say that God's house is not perfect? Huh? But it's perfection within. Huh? It's perfection within. It's perfection. Huh? So why is perfection present there? Because God is present. So never expect a perfect church. It doesn't exist. But God's perfection is present where? In the church. In fact, if there is a perfect church, it starts being perfect the day you join. Did you get it? But you know, we don't rejoice in the imperfection, right? We rejoice in the provision of God. So God is the perfect one in the midst of an imperfect people, perfecting them. Maturing them. So look at this. I can't stay away from the church. So I don't let the devil get me to stay away from the church. I don't let the world get me to stay away from the church. Tell someone, say, I can't stay away. Ha! Stay away. I can't stay away. How am I going to go to the hospital? How am I going to go to the hospital? Why are you not going to go to the hospital? Because hospital has people needing health attention. But you need health attention. I'm not going to go to the hospital. You're being stupid. When you need health attention, get to the hospital. It's the clear church. again to the church, because I need spiritual attention. Are we together? Because others need spiritual attention that I can supply by the Spirit of God. Amen. The father of what? The fatherless. Is it clear? Is God in his habitation? So God provides fatherhood in the church. So the fatherhood of God is not present elsewhere. Do you get it? It's not in the schools. The fatherhood of God is not found in the schools. The fatherhood of God is not in the universities. The fatherhood of God is not found in the place of work. Is it clear? It's just you are there to make money. Is it clear? You have to make money, right? Right? The fatherhood of God is not in the market. In the market, you sell or you are sold. Is it clear, George? Are we together? You got to sell. The fatherhood of God is not in politics, right? You only have God for that reason, right? God. The fatherhood of God is only present where? In the church. Praise God forevermore. And God is a responsible father. Sufficient. Tell someone, say sufficient. The fatherhood of God. Amen. The fatherhood of God. Are we together? Look at this. Does that fatherhood include healing? Huh? Does it include healing? Encouragement? Strengthening? Huh? Support? Huh? Does it include that? Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. The father of what? The fatherless. Now, you know that's not literal, right? You say, may I have daddy? I don't need church. No. Amen. What's the next thing he says? The judge of what? Of the widow. Yeah, I'm not a widow. I don't need church. No. The judge of the widow is a description of the law. Are we together? Is Moses gave the law to Israel about certain people in the society that can easily be cheated and relegated. They are the orphans, the widows, folks who don't have people who can speak for them. So Moses had given the law in Israel that you must not treat those people badly. There were provisions under the law. In fact, one of the law was tithing. There were four tithing in the Old Testament books. I know this is when you hear tithing, people just talk about one kind. There are four different kinds of tithing. There is one of those tithes that are meant for the widows, the orphans, and sojourners. Those who are on transit. But because they are going on long distance, they branched for refuge. That means they don't have anything in the land to sustain them. God gave them the law. He says this particular contribution of the people should all be of the less privileged. So the widow is another example of less privileged in the nation of Israel who can be cheated. So that they won't be cheated. So that their cause will be pleaded. Like the one in Luke 18, the widow that kept going to the unjust judge to plead her case, right? The Bible says after a while, he said, the judge was ignoring her. Was it because of her importunity? The judge now said, all right, okay, come, I will plead your case. So they are the voiceless in the nation. So the judge of the widow describes the one who sets things right. Righteousness. Is it clear? So when it describes God as the judge of the widows, he is describing our Father, God, as the one who sets things aright. Someone says sets things aright. So look at this. It means in the church, two things. God's fatherhood is provided
and I am set aright. So if you ever need a setting aright in your church, in your life, it happens in the church. Supernatural. It happens in the church. God has enabled the platform of the church to be able to set our lives aright according to His plan. Praise God. So to be weary, fainted, scattered, as sheep having no shepherd, are people whose life has not been set aright according to God's plan. This is God in His holy habitation. Psalm 68 verse 6. It means that God's solution and wisdom, are we together? Is present. God's intervention is present in the church. Amen. I said amen. God's intervention is present where? The church is not only for miracles. You say, oh, I have all I need in life. I don't need a miracle. So I don't need the church. No, you'll be stupid. Yeah? Very. God's involvement in our life to lead us. So look at the next statement he makes in that Psalm 68. He says, is God what? In His what? Holy habitation. Uh-huh. God does what? Says what? So God is not for isolation. Amen. God is not for what? Praise God. Praise God. God is not for what? So look at this. Who isolates people from churches? Satan. I told someone some time ago, I said, do you know who wins when there's conflict in the church? It is not God. Neither is it the church. Anytime there's conflict in the church, it is not God that wins. And it's not the church that wins. It's the enemy. Because now you and I know who Paul is among the apostles, his impact. But you observe that Paul's greatest message was unity. Amen. Amen. So he is the one who does what? Who scatters. In fact, look at this. To scatter is the opposite of the word shepherd. Did you observe that? Did you observe that? To scatter. That's why, look at everybody. Don't join people to scatter churches. Don't. Don't. Don't join conversations. Is it clear? That will scatter church. Don't. And don't remove people from their churches if you are not ready to pastor them. Don't. Don't. Because as imperfect as it is God's wisdom. When it is done rightly, what is available there is not present anywhere in the world. Someone say the church. Someone say the church. Tell your neighbor, say the church. Tell your neighbor, say the church. So look at me this morning. The church is God's big project on the earth. The only project of God on the earth is the church. The churches. That's why you hear people say, churches are too much. Churches is not too much. Did you get what I'm saying? Do you ever hear them say schools are too much? Filling stations are too much. Do you ever hear eateries are too much? Do you ever hear universities are too much? Do you ever hear hospitals are too much? Why is it church that is too much? That statement is born out of ungodliness. We need more churches. Someone say more churches. But look at this. More strong churches, good churches. The world has never needed strong local assemblies as it does today. The world has never needed good churches as it does today. Is it clear? That is why, look at this. God wants you to be a big part of church planting. Are you with me? To be a part of what? Planting churches. Planting churches. And look at me. I'm not talking about sending your money. No, I've not said that. I've not said where you sit down and then you send 5 million naira into church account. No. I'm talking about you planting it. Yes. It is a great thing. Don't say it's a great thing. And the grace of God is upon our lives. It's a great thing for the Lord. Is it clear? Is it clear? If you have never thought about it before, I want you to start thinking about it this morning. That the Lord is going to use you to plant churches. Now, the little is present in the greater. If the greater is big enough, like the Lord using it to plant churches, then the little, your health, being alive, and preservation is secured. Sometimes we don't know what is forced in our lives. We are busy with nonsense. You don't know that the small ones is already taken care of in the bigger visions. See, I think big. Lord. See, I see the Lord. Praise God. So he said, God said what? By now the text should be in your mind as a memory verse. God said what? Where? God said what? Where? In famine. Is in the business of planting Christians in churches. Tap that brother. This is much. Are we together? Say it again. God is in the business of planting people into what? Churches. That's why I tell you, don't let anybody talk you out of it. Stubborn.
stubborn because the world has its description for faith. The description of the world for faith is stubborn. I told you the world has its own grammar. So you don't allow what people say to get your faith. No. When you walk in honor, they will say it's man service. Don't say, why are you always posting your church? When you post your school, do we fight it? Post your mosque now. Are you with me? I would know a particular that there is no day that the people do not post their company. And it's part of the job description that you will post your company. Company. I didn't say your job role or you advertise. I mean, you post your company and what the company you post. And it's not optional. Don't get me wrong, bro. It's not that it's optional. It's compulsory. Then I post my church. What is your business? What is your headache? Because the world has its own perception. You criticize what you don't value. Did you get what I said? Did you get what I said? It's what you don't value that you do what? You come against. You criticize. Now, it's not my problem that you don't value it. No, it's not my problem. So you don't allow people to talk you out of it. If I give my money, and I give to church, and I support my church with my money, why do you complain? I don't complain when you earn your salary and you go to the bar and you drink with it and you carry girls and you waste it. You buy new shoes, you buy creams so you can look good. I've never seen their hair grow beyond a particular height. It took me a very long time before it just occurred to me that, it means this guy visits the salon that often. I mean, it took a long time. It just occurred to me that, wait. You know, sometimes when you're doing something just occurs to you that is not related. That someone will just bring it. So you don't make a discovery. Let's go by that. That means his mustache, his shape, everything like that through the year. See, now occurred to me that it means this guy most likely every week or every 2 weeks. So he will have personal baba. The hair grow, you know, grow, the baba will show up. So you spend your resources to do all that, which is fine. But then I use my resource and I push it towards God's business on the earth. What's your headache? So don't let folks talk you out of it. Is it clear, church? You are part of an ongoing project God's building on the earth. So he sets the solitary into what? Family. So God is the one who put people into churches. That is what he does. Because in the churches, his fatherhood is available to them. Is it clear? Then through the churches, he is able to set their lives right according to his plans. Is that true? Is that true? But look at the next statement he says. Look at the next. Psalm 68. He said what? He said solitary what? Into families, but what? They do. Did they what? Okay. The rebellious will dwell what? In a dry land. So what does it mean to rebel? It means to not accept. So we stand to not accept being planted into churches. He says they'll dwell in dry land. Now, you know, he's not talking about dry land as a physical dry land. He's speaking figuratively. Are we together? Means that God's solution to not live in a dry land is to be families, right? The churches. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Wisdom. God's solution to not live in a dry land. I checked that word dry land. This was what I found. The first thing I was there with the word dry land is that that word was used just once in the entire Old Testament. That means the writer chose the word. It's not a common language. Now, you will find the word dry, is it clear? Differently in the Old Testament books. But this particular Hebrew word, translated dry, was used just once. It means the writer chose it. Deliberately. It is the word Yabashah in the Hebrew. Now, it is not spelled Yabashah. It is spelled Yabawah. But that's the pronunciation. Yabashah. I'll spell it. Y-A-B-B-A-W-A-H. Yabawah. I checked the entire Old Testament books. It was just once. Yabawah. Y-A-B-B-A-W-A-H. Are we together? Now, I also did a tiny little study. I'm not giving you that study because I would digress if I do that. But I'm not giving you that study. I'll give you my findings. I looked up the word dry ground or dry. I observed it was used in different places. For example, are we together? I saw the word dry in Genesis 1:9. Genesis 1:9 and verse 10. When it says the Lord brought... Okay, I made a mistake already. I'll correct it now. I made a mistake just now. I'll correct it now. Yeah. That word Yabawah is the word found in Genesis 1:9. Don't mind me. Like I said, I'm not giving you this study. I'm not giving you something else. All right. So, that word Yabawah is the one found in Genesis 1:9 and 10. When it says God made the dry ground, are we together, to come out of the water. Is it clear? Now, the emphasis of that dry ground coming out of water in the Hebrew culture, actually, that word dry. Are you listening to me? That word dry, Yabawah, in the Hebrew culture implies, pay attention, it implies expectance. That's what it implies. So when it says God made the dry ground to come out the waters in Genesis 1, notice the next thing God does. He now told the dry ground to bring forth what? Grass. So that particular dry ground, are we together? Yabawah, describes what is what? Expectant. In other words, look at this. It is the same word used to describe the concept of blessed are those that thirst. Because they shall be what? Filled. Are you with me? So, it gives us a notion of this doesn't have, but it is going to what? Have. Are we together? In other words, it does not yet look like this, but this is going to be sufficient. That's the word Yabawah. But now, the word used in Psalm 68 verse 6, I'll spell it for you. It is spelled T-S-T-C-H-I-Y-C-H-A-H. Something like T-C-K. Something like that. Are we together? T-C-K. Something like that. Are we together? Now, it is that word that was used once. Is it clear? So I can see it now. I can imagine it. It is that word that was used once. Amen. Now, I checked that word, tesike, and I found it was described as desert. Are you with me? Now, look at it. A desert is not the place that
will have. Is it clear? A desert is a place where there is no sufficiency, no sustenance, no direction, dryness. Is it clear? Is it clear? Now look at this. Look at me. You will see that word. What's the first word I gave you? Yabawa, right? You see that word, the concept of Yabawa. Look at me now. Just look at me. Look at me now. The concept of Yabawa is, are you with me? That concept of Yabawa is, this ground is not yet in the state it is going to be, but it is going to be found in that state. Is it clear? Now, that word, how do I pronounce it? Techike, right? That word means, this is how this one is. Desert. So it is characteristic of desert to be dry, to be without direction. Are we together? And to be vulnerable. No sustenance, no direction, vulnerable. It says the rebellious will do what? Will do what? What dwell. Now, the same writer, David, uses the word dwell for the temple. We will dwell in his presence forever. So dwell is used for where you remain in. A place of abode. So it says he will dwell in the what? In the dry land. So he talks about a perpetual continuous experience. You can call it a portion. Don't say a portion. So the portion of the Christian who does not have a local is that he will be weary through life. No direction. Are we together? No spiritual strength. No vision from God. No sustenance. Vulnerable to the enemy. Is his perpetual state, his portion. Did you hear what I just said? The Christian who is not planted in the church, or non-Christian, is it clear? Now the experience of the Christian will be just like the non-Christian, only that he is born again. Amen? So the one who is not planted in the church will do what? Will have experience, a continual experience of dryness, no direction from God. Amen. Vulnerable, right? Look, is that the opposite of what a shepherd provides? Thank you. Now, look at what the same David says earlier. He says, the Lord shepherd, right? Then it says, I shall not what? Is it clear? So, you observe the experience of the church and the unchurched are exact opposites. God is made available in the churches.
Praise the Lord. Did you get it? Available where? In the church.
Are we together? Was the very opposite of what Peter said in Acts 3. When he says, there will be times of refreshing from the resurrection. The times of refreshing. The times of renewal. The Christian who feels that he is too smart. The Christian who becomes too distracted, too busy. And is not found planted in the church. God says his experience in life will be dry. Will be like a desert. Are we together? Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Now, where was the first time we saw desert, that concept in the Bible? Genesis. What happened? God sent man away from the garden, right? Right? So, outside the church is outside the garden. Is it clear? Is it clear? Outside the garden. No sustenance. So, praise God. I said, praise God. Did you get that? Did you get that? So, outside the church is what? Is what? Outside the church is what? No sustenance. Vulnerable. Are you listening to me? So look at this. Look at this. Look at this. So, God, our Father, is compassionate, right? 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 And can you respond? All right. God, our Father, is what? Compassionate, right? What does he do? Does he heal the brokenhearted? Huh? Does he feed the hungry? Does he set it right? Does he provide fatherhood, shelter, nourishment? Does he preserve, protect? So, God does that. Now, does he want to do that to the whole world or to a selected few? The whole world. He's the God of the whole earth. So look at what he does. His ministry, which is for the whole world. Look at what he does. Look at what he does. He now brings the one that is outside. He now brings him into what? Inside. Did you get it? So it brings that one inside. Outside the church is what? Outside the God. Is it vulnerable there? Is it dry? Is there sustenance? Direction? Is there direction? No direction. Outside. So, outside the church is outside the plan of God. Outside the plan of God. It's outside the plan of God. Are we together? Outside the plan of God. So, once true, you, God wants to feed. God wants to give your life a meaning. God wants to make your life count. Are we together? And look at what he does. He brings you into his family. So he sets the solitary into what? Into family. So God's work on the earth is bringing people from outside his sheepfold into what? his sheepfold. I don't know if that makes sense to you. Does that make sense to you? So look at me, everybody. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Look at me, everybody. Nobody should force you to church. Nobody should. Nobody should drag you to church. Nobody should. There is no one in his right senses who's thirsty and sees water and does not go for it. You don't have to be dragged to the water. Is it clear? Nobody should force you to the church. Now, you can hear this different way. Some people might hear what I'm not saying. That means, Pastor is saying, leave me alone. No. Are we together? Yes, that's what I'm thinking. Nobody should force anybody. That means, brother, so and so, are you hearing your pastor? Are we together? Let me say what I said in a different way. You should never be found somewhere else. Are we together? Aside from the church. Now, there's a twofold application of that. There's the church meeting. Are we together? There's the you being planted in the church. Both. Glory to God. Now, I don't know if I make any sense this morning. I don't know. You're going to tell me. Do I make any sense this morning? Do I make any sense this morning? This brother is not answering me. Do I make any sense this morning? All right. Am I preaching real good? I'm preaching real awkward. Don't say yes. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? He set what? The solitary into what? Into family. So to yield to the Lord is to be planted in the church. See, I yield to God. Don't anybody drag you to church anymore. Doesn't even look good on you. God is dragging you. With your at your age. Look at what David said. He says, I'm glad when they say to me, let's go to the house of God. Are we together? Can you be like that? No. Do you think you can ever be like that? Huh? That you don't murmur at church, right? That's it. Planted in the church. Planted there. Planted. Planted means you take sustenance from the church. Because your roots are deepening into it. You take water, right? Planted also means you bless the church because your fruits are coming forth. It means God has put something in you that is meant for the churches. Let me tell you this. Now, what I'm about to say, some of you, it will take you some 10 years to understand it. I'm fine with it. A man really fully understands the potentials in him until he gets involved. in the work of God. Did you get what I said? Did you get what I said? Did you get what I said? Look at some of you. Some of you have professions, or you have been trained for a profession. Some of you get involved. Some of you are in a career line. And then you know that there are many other talents in you, but that field does not require it. You are meant to focus on that. You see, the work of God brings out all the giftings of God in you. Everything. Everything. Because it requires it all. Shepherding, teaching, caring, God, rebuking, leading, being exemplary. The whole faculty is in you. The call of God brings it out in its purest sense. Nobody really, really, truly lives to his full potential who is not involved in building God's plan on the earth. Praise God forevermore. I said, praise God. So God's solution, God to not live in a dry land, is that he will be set in the church. It means you will stay in the church. It means you will allow the church to give you direction, to give you vision, to help, to support you, to strengthen you. You will welcome the ministry of a local assembly. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. So he says to feed. So in Matthew 9, pray there for the Lord of the harvest that he will send for laborers into his harvest. Who are those laborers? Those he sent that the people were without, scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Are we together? As sheep having no shepherd. In other words, God has sent us out to be shepherds. Jesus himself is the shepherd. So Christian discipleship is extending his ministry to souls. That's what Christian discipleship is. Extending the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ to souls. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. To souls. So the Christian walk, as you have been studying, is to make disciples. That's what God has asked you to do. That's what God has asked you to do. God has not asked you to just merely be a good person. It is good to be a good person, but it doesn't change the world. You change the world, we change the society by extending the life of God to people. Praise God. I said, praise God. So we said in John 1 that Christian discipleship begins by seeking the sheep. Do you remember? Are we together? Being in the desert also implies vulnerable to beasts. In the desert, it means you're vulnerable to negative influences. Vulnerable. To be vulnerable to the enemy. So the church of God acts like that supernatural fortress that prevents you and guides you against vulnerability to the enemy. So the work of God to us as believers is to go out and make disciples. This is the work of Jesus. The work of Jesus, hear this, is not philanthropism. Being a philanthropist is not working for God. Are we together? You don't need the Holy Ghost to be a philanthropist. Whatever you do not need the Spirit of God to achieve, Christ didn't die for it. Christ didn't die for it. Are we together, church? The work of God is not medicine. Nothing wrong in medicine. Nothing wrong in philanthropy. Nothing wrong in accountancy. Nothing wrong in counseling. Including parenting. Nothing wrong in parenting. They are all good feats that when properly explored, things are left for the good. But the work of God remains the work of God. Shepherding. Are we together? So inasmuch as we are sheep of his pasture, God wants us to begin to live as shepherds. By doing what? By seeking the sheep and leading them in and feeding them and establishing the sheep of God. Are we together, church? Jesus sent out the unsaved to go. He sends out the saved, rather, to go after the unsaved. That is what he does. He sends out the saved to go after the unsaved, to restore the unsaved. I'm just reading out what I've put in my note to you, sharing my thoughts. He sends the saved to go after the unsaved, to get them in, to restore them into his fold. So my work is not to complain. We are not complainers. We don't complain at the decadence in the society. We go there to change it by shedding God's light through prayer and preaching, an exemplary lifestyle. Prayer, preaching, an exemplary lifestyle. Are we together, church? First assignment, my mission is to go after the lost sheep. Not to fight them. Not to quarrel with them, but to provide leadership by the Spirit of God. To the end that they are restored, replenished, binded, healed, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, brought into the assembly, established, and trained. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 becomes a model ministry. Are we together? And this is the starting point of Christian discipleship. So quickly, I begin to close. The work of discipleship is the primary mission of the church. If that is the primary mission of the church, then it is the primary mission of all the local churches. All the churches, including those that are recognized, those that don't recognize it, we have that mission in common. To bring the sheep into the pasture. We call that evangelism. Is that true? And teaching. Is that true? So evangelism, teaching, then prayer. To bring the lost sheep into his pasture. The Great Commission is not sharing food. Amen? If all you do is share food, people will go to hell with their filled bellies. Maybe add fuel to the fire. Are we together? People go to hell with what? Their few tummies. Well nourished. Health. What about sharing money? Is that ministry? Sharing money. Is that the work of the ministry? Sharing food. Is that the work of the ministry? We share Indomie. 3 Indomie for each session of the crusade. Caught you. I see you. Sharing more. Say, this apostle can give anybody 500,000 naira. So he said, crusade is also day, 4 days before the crusade. Fasting and praying. What's my prayer point? Oh God, look at me. I must be the one to collect 500,000. That is not the ministry of our Lord Jesus. Are we together? Sharing drugs. We have been called to make all time drug available. That's the gospel. Any other that is not God's work. Sharing drug. Share drug. We have been in Christ Energy Conference. At the opening conference, we're going to give vaccine to every 5 year old baby. That's what we're going to give. So all our pastors. Administering vaccine. That's not the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we together? Give it to these people that go about, that give vaccine to people's houses. They come and knock on your gate, right? You have a 4 year old boy. 3 years. They say, no, today we are under 6 month children. Under 11 years old. That's their work. Is it clear? Is it clear? Not your own. Lukewarmness has redefined ministry for many people. The work is simple. The work is direct. Unambiguous. Do you get it? Do we get it? Sharing drugs. Sharing pampers. That's not the ministry. What are you turning the ministry into? What are you telling the ministry? That is not the work of the church. Put it in the pampas. Distribute the free to promote themselves. Then you're going to share any pampas. Packs, boxes of pampas. We have come to you in the name of the Lord. We have come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who died and rose for you. Sharing. How? What is the correlation? I thought you would say we have come in the name of the one who died and rose for you, and you took away cancer. Are we together? Are we together? I thought you will be forward to people gathering to come and hear the news of the one who died for them, because they are going to see blindness taken from people. So you can show them he is the light of the world. Are we together? Are we together? So that when they bring a dead person to the crusade, you are going to take death out of his body. Are we together? So that you can now teach that is the resurrection and the life. Are we together? You're going to remove deafness. So you show them that is the voice of God. Are we together? I thought you're going to remove cancer. You're going to take leprosy. Is that what he told them to do in Matthew 10? The text we read in the morning, is that Matthew 9? When he says, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, is that Matthew 10? So after he says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send for laborers, he now sent them to share pamper. Is that what he did? No. He says, heal the sick. There are signs of the gospel, and pamper is not one of them.
Are we together? There are signs of the gospel. And barbecue and zobo is not one of them. Is it clear? Yes, yeah. If we don't do this, people will not come. No, you are worldly. People will come when you open the eyes of the blind. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? People will come when you open the deaf ears. People will come
when the evil
walk. Are we together? When the oppressed and the afflicted and the battered of the enemy, the depressed, when they get healed of demonic afflictions, people will come. People will come when rebellious spiritual supernatural beings have men in bondage, when their hold is loose upon the lives of men. Are we together? I was in a meeting like that. I was in a meeting. And then I saw from the stage, I didn't know. The guy was there. I was still wondering because I couldn't see far enough. The guy, it looked like he was bending down. And then the man of God went close. He rushed at him. And then he hit him both on the chest and on the back. And then I said, what happened there? And people say, ha, 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 ha. People were like, ha. He just stabbed him like this. Bah! Then just few seconds after, the same folk that said, ha, ha, just started screaming at the voice, top of their voice. And everybody, everywhere went wild. What had happened? The guy that was stabbed was with hunchback and he vanished. And he vanished. Are we together? I think that is better, amen, than sharing Indomie, Super Pack, Hungry Man. The world is not hungry for Indomie. The world is hungry for Jesus. We found the purpose, guys. Are we together? Are we together? We found the purpose, guys. The world is not hungry for barbecue. 250,000 naira will finish. But eternal life is called eternal because it's eternal. Is it clear? Is it clear, church? So he's not sharing clothes. And none of the things I mentioned are evil on their own, but that is not the work of God. That's not the work of God. You share wig. Yeah, I've seen that. You share wig. I was like, where did they even get the wig? So he said, we do that food draw, whatever you meet inside. I will replace it with stones. Give me access to that room before the night of the crusade. Who put stones and build that nylon and empty that gold AC? Who put it inside? Nothing. To spoil your show. Are we together? Have you watched Home Alone? I'm like that Home Alone guy. We don't bear the same name. Are we together? Are we together? Ah. Amen. I'm not that mischievous though. Sorry, I take that back. Are we together? He's not sharing drugs, sharing dummy, sharing this, sharing bottle drinks, sharing this, sharing that, and then sharing clothes, and then yeah, we're going before the minister of God comes, we'll do raffle draw. We now pick tickets. And by the time they have done the raffle draw, they go. So the minister of God will preach to himself. You now say the we are holding crusades. The society is not changing. What God's crusade? You held your own meeting. Is it clear? When you hold God's meeting, look at what will happen. Philip goes to Samaria. Are we together? And preach what? And all the people gave heed to him, saying the miracles. Someone say miracles. Let me tell you something today. See,
Miracles, I got this from Dr. T. L. Osborne. Miracles, bell of the gospel. If you're in boarding school, you know what dinner bell is. Grin, 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 and it's time for food. See, the dinner bell of the gospel is miracles. If you don't get time, go and sit down. And sit down. Some of them miracles. That is why Paul, knowing fully well that the mission of the church is to progress and to, for the furtherance of the gospel, Paul knew very well that the church existed for the furtherance of the gospel in every society. And he knew the place of their Christian meetings. So in 1 Corinthians 14, it says when you come together, it says covet earnestly the best gifts. The gifts, are we together? Are we together? They are the shiny, 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 shiny around the gospel. It's the clash. We go for our own. Indomie is not our own. It's the clash. Look, come, we go Indomie. Are we together? Anika, Rory, Kariti, Lati. Are we together? Dev and Don, go sorrow. Wait, Jesus. That's miracle. Is it clear? Are we together? That is the ministry. When you see the gospel, you see power. That is why it is called the message of what? Of the kingdom. That means a sign that the kingdom, you know what kingdom is? Kingdom is a governmental language. The kingdom of God shows up and you declare the message of the kingdom. The preaching of the gospel is that the kingdom of God is here. You will see the kingdom is what? In forceful demonstrations of power. Not Indomie. Are we together? So that is the mission of the church. That is the work of the church. It's not even in sharing tracts. I want to close. Is it clear? Sometimes we allow lukewarmness to describe the ministry for us. Don't go for the easy thing. Go for the effective thing. No. Don't go for the easy thing. Go for the effective. It's not sharing tracts. And folks don't read it. And even in your tracts, what is there? Some folks even put testimonies in the tract. How does that get people saved? I didn't have husband, now I have husband. How does that get people saved? In fact, when people come to your church because they want husband, you don't have disciples of Christ. Is it wrong for people to find their life partners, married partners and spouses in the church? It is not wrong, but that is not the purpose for coming to church. That is not. I didn't have a child. Now I have a child. No. There's nothing wrong in people receiving miracles of childbirth and fruit of the womb. But that is not why people come to church. We come to church. Are we together? For the furtherance of the mission of God in our lives and in the lives of others. Glory to God forevermore. So we must not let lukewarmness to redefine ministry to us. It's not in showboats. So now you go to Deeper God. You see some guy, they carry packlet, white like this, and then they are smiling. Hell is real. Demons know hell is real. Are we together? That is not the gospel. That's not the gospel. That's how you won't find anybody in front of our church down to Beckardine's entrance and carrying fan and now waving to are we together? You go out and mobilize people. Go to the doorstep of that disciple who is weary without direction and pull him into the church. Then there are 10 people, 20 people. Of what use? The church is too mission-minded for that. It's declared. And I'm not coming against people's ties. Are we together? I'm only teaching the word. You do what's effective. You do what's effective. So that when the assembly grows, we will have population of disciples. Not a mixed multitude. It's declared.
disciples, shepherds. Can we have an assembly of 1,000 and all are shepherds? Disciples, strong Christians. Is it possible? That's what we're building. Look, I must pray for my clothes. Lukewarmness to describe or redefine the ministry to me. Sometimes people think the work of the ministry is merely to share the gospel. No. The work of sharing the gospel is the work of the church. Evangelism is the work of the church. It is not enough to take the gospel out when you are not attached to the church. See, when you are not attached to the church and you go out reaching the unsaved, do you know what you are doing? It's like a hook that is used to fish. Are we together? You used to fish a hook, but the hook is not attached to the ship. To the world, you'll be lost in the world. So evangelism is as attached to the church. That's why in all the book of Acts, you observe the church sent people. They sent people. Because you don't go, you are sent, attached. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. Sometimes I hear people say, hey, is it not to evangelize? I can evangelize on my own. It's not. You are not being serious. Attached to the church. Ezekiel Church. Attached to the church. Planted in the church. Then you carry out the work from the church. We'll reach the world from the church. We'll reach the world from the church. So you cannot share the gospel independently. It's from the church. Sometimes you go out there, you have experiences. Sometimes you meet people. I've even seen folks that they got on evangelism and they were evangelized. Yeah. They went out of they didn't it all. How? You don't share the gospel independently. You don't share tracts. So I know we are called to read discipleship, but I'm discipling. My own is just to look at young people that are just entering school, and then discipleship is not school, mommy. Is it clear? There is my school daughter. Your disciple is not school daughter. Disciple is not school mommy. See, lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. We define things for a lot of people. Discipleship is not just casually visit people and check on them. I just want to check on them. No. Some will say, oh, now that I say, my own is to buy people Bibles. That's not discipleship. Buy people Bibles. Just go in the street. Hello, are you born again? Do you have a Bible? No. This is for you. Oh, yeah, hug me. And then they come in somewhere. Then you put it on Facebook. Are you okay? Then this is what we are doing now. Then discipleship is we are doing good. Then you go to one woman that is selling corn. You say, how much is all of your corn? He says, 1 5. 1 5. Oh, yeah, you now count 1,000. 10. Take. We are hungry. And there's a camera there. Say, we are doing the work of God. That's not the work of God. That's not the work of God. The work of God is preaching. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9, say, woe unto me if I do not what? If I do not preach the gospel. Preaching. How we preach as church? Word Life Believers Community Church. Are we an assembly of preachers? All are preaching. We're going to change the environment that way. Are we together? All are preaching. Look at it. We're going to see next week. In Acts 8, Acts 11, when persecution arose, the Bible says all that were scattered from the persecution, it says every man
they went everywhere, what? Preaching. That means before the persecution, all were taught to preach. It tells you the kind of training that was going on in the church after the 3,000 got saved. The moment the 3,000 were saved, all were taught to preach. So when persecution arose, what they knew to do was what they continued to do. Are we together? And assembling all our preachers, and assembling all our teachers, and assembling all our ministers of the gospel. It's a mission-minded assembly, and God has planted you there to supply and to receive. Are we together, church? I want you to embrace the ministry of your church this morning more than ever before. Embrace the ministry deliberately, intentionally. Embrace the ministry of your church. It's a grant for discipleship. The same way that people don't force you to church, don't allow us to force you to get involved. Get involved in the church. Get involved. See God's plan and get involved and strengthen it. See, it is a good thing to be involved in building the church. It is a good thing. There are very few things that God calls great things. Are we together? There are very few things that God calls great things. And one of the ways to know what is a great thing is to act on instructions. The instructions of Jesus. So if he says to go and make disciples and to win souls and to bring them into his church, it means he sees it as a great thing. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Say I do great things. Say I do great things. Look at me. Many of the things you call great things are simple things. And many of the things you regard as trivia are actually what? Great and mighty things before God. Some of us, the reason why we don't get involved in ministry is because of him. How can I use all my life to do ministry? I want something that is greater. I want my life to be described after greater things. I mean, so we now ask you, what are those greater things? What are those greater things? And then you begin to say, oh, I want to be this, a professor of that, a owner of this, owner of that. I want to be seen. I want my name to be listed in this society, community of people. Oh, I'm a pharmacist. I want my name to show up. I miss this. I want to be a researcher. I want to rise up into this particular echelon of the society. So you are mentioning things that you regard as mighty, not knowing that before God they are what? They are tiny things. Of what use it is for a man to do what? To win the whole world and lose his soul. To lose his soul means to not fulfill the reason why he came to the earth. The worth on his soul. So you will begin to see that it is actually a great thing to be involved in God's work. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? You see it as a great thing. The reason why many people do not see it as a great thing is because they have other things on their mind. Someone say other things. Ask your neighbor, say, what are the other things? Ask the person, what are the other things in your mind? Sometimes we have other things in our mind, other things in our mind, in our soul. There are other things there. Other things in our mind. Other things. It's like someone is telling a young woman, oh, I love you. I want you to be my wife. I want to spend my life with you. I will take care of you. I will do this. But in the mind of that lady, there are other men. Someone say other men.
Oh, see them.
Someone say other men. Yeah, because the lady is thinking of some other people.
So it's not even all the, you know, you have prepared your speech, you have done this, you even told your friend, which one should I say first? Your friend that is teaching you how to woo a girl. Say, ah, mash on here now. This one you say. Say this, say this, say this. Say so, say, tell her that you were born premature because you were rushing to the edge to meet her. Tell her that's why you were born premature, because you were rushing to the earth to meet with her. Tell her that you are the sugar in my lifting, and then you are the milk in my bombita. Tell her that you are the cockroach. Sorry, you know, just tell her those things. And as you are prepared to say all those things, all the things that you are prepared to say, the lecture, it sounded like tongues. Because there are other men. Some of the other men. Other. Is it clear? Other people. Sometimes the reason why the voice of the Lord cannot woo you into his work, you have other things. So the voice of purpose cannot enter. You have to pray for yourself that the voice of God will be as loud as it ought to be. Or else you are risking a life that's going to be truly wasted. There's God's call upon our lives. They are functioning God's call. See, as I go about my life, as I get successful in the natural, I function in the plan of God for my life. You're going to pray for yourself this morning. Go ahead and pray. If you have to pray silently, pray. If you have to pray loudly, pray. It's a prayer of consecration. Lord, I function more. I begin to function more in your plans. You have a song I want. Pray. I function. Lord, your voice is loud in my ears. Lord, your vision is big in my eyes. Imagine treating the vision of God as something tiny. Hey! What a disrespect. What a disrespect. Some of you, some of us are disrespecting God. Disrespecting God. God is bringing you into his church, trying to plant you in this church, and you are calling it small. You are calling it small. God is trying to plant you in this church, and you are calling it small. A tiny plan, a tiny vision. No, Lord. I see what you see. I feel what you feel. I share about it. Are we together? Let's pray the Holy Ghost. As we close the service this week, even the rest of the year, I see your visions as big as they are. Every barrier that is making the loud voice of God to sound tiny, the big vision of God to stand very little, the great passion of God to sound very trivial. Every barrier that holds instructions to suggestions in my heart, I do away with them by the Holy Ghost. I do away with them by the Holy Ghost. I do away with them by the Holy Ghost. Pray that you will receive God's help.
yourself this morning. Lord, I receive your help. Open your mind and pray. I have God that I call darkness. Skin about me. Rupa for the whole river for the top. Rupa be the summer. Rupa be the summer. I took the top, the top, the top. Rupa be the summer.
Yeah.